Good morning and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health, where we highlight the groundbreaking work being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison as part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. I'm Joel Katz, and once again, I'm joined by Dr. Ron Karna from Hackensack Meridian Health at JFK Neuroscience Institute in Edison, specializing in pain management and diagnosing sports-related injuries and their treatment. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning, Mr. Katz. It's a pleasure to be back. Thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be back to discuss an update on how things are going here at JFK University Medical Center, Hackensack Meridian Health, at the Neuroscience Institute.
Yeah, great. We're excited. But let's kind of reintroduce you. I want to mention that it was 32 years ago, almost to the day, that you were in Barcelona, right?
Yes. I was just reflecting back on that because I saw some commercials about the Paris Olympics, how they're starting on July 25th, and that was the exact same date when I was competing in Barcelona with the opening ceremony. So, yeah, a mere 32 years ago, I can't believe it, but it's exciting.
So you were a part of the Dream Team. You played with Michael Jordan and Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. Were you a point guard? What did you play?
I was on the swim team.
Yes, I'm just kidding.
I actually stayed in the same hotel with them at the Ambassador Hotel.
Did you?
When I had the unfortunate experience of when my father passed away at the opening ceremony on July 25th, and then I swam 6 days later. So they had taken me out of the Olympic Village. Mr. George Steinbrenner, the owner of the New York Yankees, who was the vice president of the USOC, United States Olympic Committee, they put me there to be protected from the press and media because of the unfortunate, tragic event that had happened, darkest moment of my life, and I had to, so I did get to hang out with those guys. It was, you know, they were great teams, really concerned, and good team players and supporters of what I was going through, such as Larry Bird and Karl Malone and Magic Johnson. They were all great memories.
Wow, we could talk about that all day, but we're not going to.
Right.
Yeah, when we Google your name, the first thing that comes up is the headline is Ron Karna's Tragedy and Triumph in the 92 yes. Olympics. And as you mentioned, you lost your father at the opening ceremony. He was there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was a very challenging week of my life where I had just won the Olympic trials March 6, 1992. That was the greatest day of my life, the biggest highlight of my life, and to make the Olympic team after, you know, training almost 18 years to get to that point.
Yeah.
And then within a mere 3.5 months later, on July 25th, I went to the darkest day of my life when that unfortunately coincided with the, you know, pinnacle of my career. But I did learn a lot from it. There were a lot of supporters, like I said, you know, George Steinbrenner helped pay for my medical school. After the Olympics, he was a big supporter of mine. He took me under his wing like a son. He was like a father to me, with inviting me to games and took care of me until he passed away on July 13th, 2010. And that was also a difficult moment in my life. But, you know, there was a lot of good that came out of it. He did make sure that I became a doctor, a successful doctor, and paving the way forward and giving back like I am now. Without him, I'm not sure how far I would have gotten without him and his family support. So I'm very grateful to the Steinbrenner family.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. So you are paying it back because what you're doing now, and you're dealing with young athletes. So tell us, how you got into that, how you jumped into that, and where it started.
Right. So, obviously being a age group swimmer and then taking it to the next level in high school and college and then the world-class level, I always was intrigued by, you know, sports medicine and dealing with injuries both on a personal level. And so that just started to evolve when I was in high school. I had interest in sciences, and I was strong in math, and I decided to become a doctor. It was pre-med in college, and initially, I thought I was going to go into orthopedic surgery because I thought that was the only way that sports medicine could be achieved in a practice. However, I did learn that there's a non-surgical specialty called physical medicine rehabilitation, also known as physiatry, and I decided to pursue that route. And then I ended up doing my fellowship at the Hospital for Special Surgery, which is an orthopedic hospital, as everyone knows, on the Upper East Side, great academic research institution, where I did my fellowship in spine intervention and sports medicine. So now that's the mainstay of my practice, where I see a lot of patients with back pain, neck pain, herniated discs, spinal stenosis, peripheral joint injuries such as shoulder injuries, elbow injuries, hip injuries, knee injuries. And I do see a fair amount of athletes that come through that are younger, anyway, any age from like 14 upward to patients in their 90s that are even athletes. In fact, I just treated a patient that was 88 years old that wanted to get back on the softball field, and he had spine surgery, and I did an injection on him, and he's back on the playing field, and he wrote me a very nice letter, and it's been great. And then I saw a gymnast a couple weeks ago at age 14 who was having back problems, and I helped her get back into training and back into her sport. So there's a wide array, but I always enjoy meeting and talking to athletes. In fact, I just saw a football player, high school football player, who's going to go to Wake Forest last week, and you know, they can feel my empathy with them, that I have the same compassion and understanding from a different level with my former, you know, student athlete, world-class swimming participation. So I can relate to it because I did have my share of injuries over the time of my career.
Yeah, I wanted to get into that. Now, you were the world's highest-ranked swimmer in the 200 individual medley. Is that correct?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, when I had won the trials in, on March 6, 1992 at 6:10 p.m. in Indianapolis.
Do you remember it?
Never forget that moment. Again, greatest moment of my life, and that was the fastest time in the world going into it that year, and then I was ranked second in the world, yeah, from the year before. So I was pretty good.
Right. So you talked about helping other, you had injuries yourself, and you used that experience along with many other, you know, your education as well, helping athletes today.
Right. Yeah, it's a great combination. As I said before, you know, I have the medical education, knowledge, and training and experience to relate to it. There were times I had shoulder injuries, knee injuries, back injuries, pectoralis, you know, rib injuries, stuff of that nature, that is very frustrating, but you need, you know, the right support, the right treating doctor to accurately diagnose your problem and then implement a very specific treatment plan that's going to help get you back to where you want to be. So I think it's very important that, you know, the right care is seeked out early when you catch it in the acute phases, rather than just letting it go and train through it, and then it becomes more of a chronic problem that's much harder to address. For example, like my very own daughter, she's 18. Her name is Daniela. She just graduated from the Pingree School in Baskin Ridge. Last year, she had a right shoulder problem that was very bothersome, and it was preventing her from training as hard as she wanted to, and she was trying to make her second Olympic trial cut in the 100-meter breaststroke. She already had it in the 200-meter breaststroke a couple months prior to that. So I was able to address it, and actually I brought her, you know, since I'm a direct family member, I didn't want to treat my own daughter, but I brought her to my buddy at the Hospital for Special Surgery, Dr. Scott Rodeo, who was one of the Olympic team swimming doctors, and he's the team doctor for the New York Giants. And, you know, he and I could talk medicine and understand and look at her MRI, and she was able to do a rehabilitation program, and she ended up getting a cortisone injection into her right shoulder and got better. And then within 3 to 4 weeks later, she made that second Olympic trial cut in 100-meter breaststroke, which was great. We, you know, and she just recently competed in the trials about a month ago, and did rather well just getting there. She was, you know, one of 44 girls to get there, but, you know, didn't quite swim up to her best because it's a very high, you know, stress situation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just getting there and having the experience, and then she'll be back there in 4 years. She's going to go to Indiana University, but, you know, she hasn't had that shoulder problem since. So we addressed it early. She was able to achieve her goal of getting her two Olympic trial cuts, and she's now on her way where her career is set at Indiana University on a full swimming scholarship. So I'm very proud of her.
Well, yeah, congratulations. You should be. Congratulations on Daniela's success. Yeah. We've mentioned this already. You don't just treat swimmers, but with swimming, all athletes, but with swimming particularly, it's not a contact sport. Is it the repetition that's causing the issues, the movement of the arms and the legs? What causes the injury primarily?
Yeah, often it's what we refer to as an overuse injury, where you have this for example, you know, the shoulder injuries. It's from overuse, overhead use, and basically there's a muscle imbalance where you have like weak rotator cuff muscles that help support the shoulder blade and the shoulder girdle and the shoulder joint itself. So it's and then also it's secondary to like improper technique, where swimmers are just swimming without the proper technique and poor technique, along with the weak rotator cuff muscles, shoulder imbalances can lead to like an impingement syndrome. They call that like a swimmer's shoulder. So we do see that a lot. And that can, again, be prevented by correcting the technique, doing a comprehensive physical medicine rehabilitation program to really strengthen those muscles that are weak, and proper stretching to make sure those muscles are nice and supple and not tight. So we see that a lot in swimmers. We do also see some knee problems, particularly in like the breaststroke, where the kick is almost like a frog kick, and it puts a lot of stress on the inside of the knee. And then patients, you know, swimmers will come in with those type of injuries. And again, a lot of it is secondary to the poor technique and not doing the preventative measures to address the muscle imbalances.
All right, I don't want to get into the preventative measures, but do you find that it's happening on both shoulders? Does it happen to both shoulders at once? Because unlike a baseball pitcher, they're using one shoulder, at least strenuously.
Predominantly on one side. It's typically the side that, that the athletes breathe to because of, again, not proper rotation. They're always rotating to one side. So, but we do see it sometimes bilaterally just from typical, again, overuse. The butterfly tends to put a lot of stress on the shoulders, and you can get the shoulder joints can get what's referred to as laxity. That just means where the joint gets loosened a bit, where there's movement within the joint. So secondary to like the capsule being stretched. So again, a lot of times we see predominantly one side, but it can be both, and that we can certainly address both at the same time.
And what are some of the preventative measures that we can do? I know, and things to look out for as well. I know, like runners, you would see that maybe your sneakers are wearing a certain way. You might need to adjust something. But as a, just any sport, but as a swimmer, how do you, what are some preventative measures that can be taken?
Sure. So often what I see is a lot of these young athletes are pushed too hard too soon. So I often say, you know, kids are not young adults. You know, they have to grow into their bodies. So if you push them too hard at a very early age, whether it be by a coach or combined with the parents, you're going to find an increase in shoulder injuries and knee injuries within any of the sports. And again, that's, you know, something that can be prevented where you just let time take its course. And again, doing other things such as the stretching, the strengthening, the preventative measures, doing all the other little things right outside the pool in terms of adequate sleep, making sure you're getting the recovery. Recovery is part of training, making sure you're getting proper nutrition, again, for the recovery purposes, adequate protein and balanced diet with the carbohydrates and good fat in your diet. And then, you know, the mental aspects of it, keeping it fun. Often I see these young athletes, you know, they get pushed so hard they don't really enjoy it. And so it's very important to make sure that they're having fun. That's a real important aspect, that they enjoy what they're doing. And, again, just let time take its course. Often we see, you know, athletes get involved in, like, one sport at a very young age, and it's only that one sport, they're a little more prone to increased risk for injury. So it's good to do multiple sports at a young age before you really finalize and decide that you want to pursue one sport, which, you know, typically can be done in like the, you know, adolescent age, like in the teenage years, unless it's like a sport like gymnastics or figure skating, where, you know, studies have shown that you have to get involved really young in, like, in those particular sports. So basically, again, just recognize the acute injury at an early phase and then address it and prevent it from becoming a chronic problem. Because when it becomes a chronic problem, then it's more difficult to treat.
So you recommend before the age of, up until the age of 13, or even through your teenage years, do multiple sports. You're using different muscles and things are moving different ways, whereas when you play one sport, it's the same thing. It's the repetitiveness that you mentioned earlier.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. And again, there are some exceptions to some sports where you have to start really young. Like I said, there's been studies that show gymnastics and figure skating, you have to start at a really young age. And
right,
diving,
but you can still play other sports while you're doing that, right?
Right, correct.
And that would be helpful.
If possible, if time allows for it, but often those sports are so demanding.
Right.
I mean, you know, swimming, you know, you'll see kids get involved really early at a young age, and then they burn out by the time they hit high school. And then I have a lot of my colleague buddies that, you know, my teammates that were on the various Olympic teams, and some of them didn't get started swimming seriously until, like, high school. They were kind of like late bloomers, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it can be done, but every sport's a little different. So, but, you know, we do see a lot of, you know, little league baseball players that have elbow and shoulder problems at a very young age. So, again, it's a general guideline, but there are exceptions.
At what age is it okay to start throwing curveballs?
Ah, boy. Well, that's a very good question. So, you know, there's a lot to the biomechanics of throwing, and you know, there's different ways that a coach can address that. And, you know, I don't see many little league baseball players to really say definitively a time frame. But, again, you want your body to be more fully developed where the growth plates are fused, so that typically doesn't happen in young male athletes until, you know, in their late teens. So you want to be careful, because when those growth plates aren't fully fused, it can be leading to, if you're starting to do it, you know, earlier in your teens, it can start to lead to, you know, serious injuries that are very difficult to address later on. So, you know, I don't want to say a definitive answer as far as what time frame, but a little later than earlier.
Yeah, yeah, not when they're very young.
Your teenage years, yeah.
Yeah. What about those, maybe they're not professional athletes, but they're runners. Is it okay to run every day, or do you need to take a break? Let's say you run, say, 3 miles a day, or I know some people who run more than that almost every day. Is that something to be concerned about, especially, you know, at an older age?
You know, again, there's different age groups. When you're younger, your body can handle it more.
Mm-hmm.
As you get older, it's a little more difficult, because that's when most patients start to develop degenerative osteoarthritis, meaning like a wear and tear of the cartilage in your knee joints. And there's been some studies that have shown that if you run too much for many years, that the process of the arthritis can be accelerated. So I always tell patients, look, everyone's different. No two bodies are the same in terms of, like, whether it be your spine or your knee pathology, but listen to your body. Use common sense that if you find things hurt, don't push through it. Get it addressed early. And preventative measurements are very important to, you know, prevent long-time chronic problems. So it's a very difficult guideline to suggest, you know, how much mileage per day, per week, for each different age group. But, again, just as a general rule, listen to your body and shut it down when there's a problem.
Okay, so when there's a problem. So if someone, you know, just likes to run, there's really no limit unless they're having an issue. I thought maybe over the course of time you could be, you know, wearing things down, even though you're not getting the symptoms that you would be looking for, like pain in the knee or things like that.
Again, there's been some studies that have shown that, you know, long, excessive running over a long period of time does accelerate the arthritis in the knee joints. I think more studies need to be done to definitively say whether or not, you know, that should be addressed you know, because every patient's different. It's based on body habitus. You know, if you're obviously overweight and putting more stress on the knee joints, then that can be a problem as opposed to somebody that's more, you know, of a normal body habitus, a BMI within normal limits. But, you know, patients that are, you know, overweight, I usually prescribe and recommend as part of their weight loss treatment to do aquatic therapy where they can do the exercise in the water, water aerobics, and your body weight is 1/7 that of, in water of on land. Mm-hmm. So it does decrease the amount of stress on the knees, the hips, and spine as well. And it's fun. The patients enjoy it. You know, they get the music going. They start doing the little, you know, water aerobics with the, you know, swim instructor on the deck. And I find that patients really enjoy doing that.
Yeah, just walking in the pool is really good, right? And it's easy on the knees.
Sure. Yeah, same principles apply. Again, you're about 1/7 your weight, you know, in water versus on land. And it's very therapeutic. The feeling of the water mentally, it's rejuvenating. So I often prescribe it, and patients love it.
Yeah. So what are some of the, you know, I guess, could you give us an example of a patient that you treated with, you know, their type of injury and what needed to be done to resolve the issue?
Sure. Well, you know, there was the athlete in 2016. She was a young female swimmer from Central Jersey who had back problems when she had done a flip turn and a herniated disc, and she had tried conservative care, which consisted of activity modifications, NSAIDs, which means non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications such as, you know, Advil and Aleve and Tylenol. At any rate, none of that worked. She had exhausted, you know, conservative care, physical therapy, doing it twice weekly for 6 weeks, and still her symptoms persisted. And then her mother was referred, had found me and referred her to me, and they came in. And, again, she was a very good swimmer, high school swimmer and club swimmer. And, you know, I addressed it with reviewing the MRI, getting a very thorough history and physical exam, and putting together the trifecta, which I refer to as the history physical exam, and correlating it with the imaging study, the MRI. And then from there, I was able to identify where her herniated disc was that was causing compression of the nerve, pinched nerve in the back, with her pain radiating into her hip and thigh. And then I was able to do the epidural injection under X-ray guidance, where a needle is placed specifically and precisely where the problem is, and cortisone is injected at that site. And she did wonderfully with it and was able to resume her high school and club swimming career. And I still see the mother and the father. They come in and they tell me how grateful they are for that. And it's like, you know, I treat the parents as well. It's one big family affair. Right. it's just, yes, yeah, so that really sticks out in my mind, how it's like full circle that, you know, I was able to get her through that difficult time in her career. She's no longer swimming now, but she's on and doing better things and, you know, graduated college and off in Europe with a glamorous job. But they always, you know, are very grateful, and every time they come in, they thank me for, you know, helping her get over that major injury that, you know, got her back in the pool.
Yeah, that's a great feeling for everybody.
Sure.
Yeah. Dr. Ron Karna, thank you so much once again for taking the time to speak. I know you're very busy, and I appreciate you taking the time to join us on the program.
Okay, my pleasure, Joel, and I look forward to staying in touch. And everybody just remember, you know, healthy body equals a healthy mind.
So thank you.
Get out there and enjoy it. Exercise. Thank you.
For more information, go to jfkmc.org. And for a podcast of the show, go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. JFK Spotlight on Health, brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz. And yes, we will talk again next week.